Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of Knowing Wheel. Yes, we're back this week. Episode 122 of your favourite Formula One related show. And as always, I'm joined by, in yet another new house, it's JB183. How are we doing, my friend?
I'm good. Moving house over the previous week has been fun. I'm now in a flat on the 6th floor of Manchester. Not the whole city, just of this building. But yeah, it's good. It might be slightly more echoey than usual, and the lighting is probably worse than it was in my old place. But we're here, and in 6 weeks I'll have another new flat to be in, so look forward to that.
I'm sure there's many that would argue the less we can see and the less we can hear, the better. From my colleague JB183. But yeah, he's going to be moving again during the summer break, so what can we say? Well-travelled is JB183. Yeah.
Someone needs to make a list of all the locations that I've recorded in. I feel like it must be about 15 by now.
I was going to say, we're definitely at double digits for you, aren't we? And I've recorded... To be fair, I think I've recorded in two places? No, more than that. Three at least.
Wow.
Because we did a couple when I was out in Switzerland.
I've done three in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, I know. You constantly move around, though, and I just sit in this room most of my life.
Yeah, fair.
But anyway, we have actually got a lot to go through today, haven't we? Yes. Reviewing the action from the Austrian Grand Prix. It is notes galore. But yeah, second sprint race weekend of the year, of course. We did an Austrian GP pre-show as well. Quickly, before we go into that, we're going to start trying to get into a routine, doing some housekeeping around the channel as well. Starting in 2024, for those of you that are watching here on YouTube, obviously our audio listeners, you'll be absolutely fine. Starting from 2024... we will be exclusively moving the podcast over onto its own channel. It'll be linked down in the description below. Obviously, it is known as the Knowing Wheel channel already, so we've posted clips from the podcast before. That's probably going to be coming back as well. But yeah, next year, the podcast is going to be completely moving off of the Mat 2 into a YouTube channel. We're already posting, as of last week, every new podcast that we do onto that channel as well. So yeah, it's basically, we're just trying to make a transition ready for next year, because obviously we want to do a few more things with the show, and it does, we've kind of discussed it, and we think it gets a little bit kind of hidden here, because obviously I do a lot of different things. But yeah, link in the description below if you're here on YouTube, go sub over there, of course, and yeah, start watching the show over there, I suppose. May as well get into the routine, if you will. But as we said, you know, we did an Austrian GP pre-show, so there wasn't too much to talk about going into the weekend. I think the only major thing we missed, Jamie, wasn't it, was Lando Norris's new McLaren car.
Yes. Yeah, they've brought in a bunch of upgrades that were initially planned for Silverstone, but they got them done early. So he can have, well, they got one of them done early. So Norris got a basically a B-spec car almost straight ready for Austria, whereas Piastri had to make do with the old McLaren, which, as we've discussed previously, is lacking in many areas. So yeah, we had wait and see how that did over the weekend, and I think they'll be pretty happy with it, to be honest.
Helped, so, of course, as always, by the fact that Lando Norris is nuts around the Red Bull
ring.
Yeah,
he's an absolute Spielberg merchant, to be fair. Like, first podium was here, got a podium and a front row start in 21. Arguably could have had two podiums in 2021. Yeah, he's really, really good around here. Probably one of his best tracks.
And if ever we needed more evidence that he probably is Red Bull's future alongside Max Verstappen, I think that is absolutely another argument that can be made.
His driving style is so similar to Verstappen's, yeah.
It's, yeah, nuts. Absolutely nuts. But of course, yeah, jumping into free practice, though. I mean, obviously, only one free practice session this weekend. This was something as well that I wanted to talk to you about. Only one free practice session. I know we've discussed it before. Really, really does screw over the rookies, doesn't it?
I guess, yeah, a little bit.
Little bit?
Yeah. Well, I guess learning a new track. If they've been there before, I guess it'd be okay. In
which they will have in Austria.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. I don't know. It's the same for everyone, though, isn't it? Because, yeah. It's just how the cookie crumbles, I guess.
There is a tiny part of me that wonders whether the rookies should be given like an extra 30 minutes or something like that. But I know obviously it would never happen in a million years. But yeah, I mean, free practice, to be honest, was a fairly boring affair. Mercedes looked quite competitive against Red Bull. Max was fastest in the end, though. He was, like I said, no real instance. Again, it's only one practice session, and obviously we're qualifying later on in the afternoon. No one really wants to take any risk, do they? I mean, trashing a car that then means you could start, you could not qualify, and then start the race at the back would be an absolute disaster. So we'll jump right in then with qualifying. Of course, our first of two qualifyings this weekend, and the first one probably less dramatic than the second, but it did start with Valtteri Bottas going for a spin, didn't it, at turn one?
Yeah, and then what, the second week of second in three weekends or something, when the Alfa Romeo just stopped, they thought it was done, they red flagged it, and then he got it going again. So a little bit premature on a red flag potentially, although yeah, it looked like he was done in the session, then just got it rebooted. So it was a little bit rookie from Bottas. I mean, he's not been that good this whole season really, other than a few races, so yeah, I don't know if he's enjoying it anymore, but that's probably a discussion for another time. They got going again. Yeah, they got going again, and no major surprises in Q1, other than just how close it was, which I guess we could have seen coming, really, given how short the track is in the modern cars in terms of lap time. And yeah, you had the two AlphaTauris, two Williams, no, sorry, just one Williams, it's Logan Sargeant, Magnussen and Zhou Guan Yu out in Q1. Magnussen had some sort of issue. I can't remember quite what it
ERS,
was.
But there was, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was some sort of issue that he qualified 18th was the reason. But yeah, I mean, he was going to lose to Hülkenberg anyway, let's be real. Q2 though was a big talking point. You obviously had Sergio Perez in the Red Bull off the back of three in a row where he hadn't made Q3 in one of the fastest cars the sports has ever seen. And once again, somehow managed to mess it up in his Red Bull, which will not have gone down very well with Red Bull management, you imagine. And especially when he had three attempts to make it through to Q3, and all he has to do is kind of play it safe. You know, it's not about getting fastest in that session, it's just about getting through to the top 10, which he can kind of do at a canter, really, maybe at 90%, 80% of what the car's capable of, he could get through to Q3. And yeah, he managed to have three goes at it, and all three of them had his lap time deleted. So didn't set a lap in Q2 and was out in 15th place, which, yeah, was pretty shocking from Perez, really. And I'm sure it's just the pressure that's mounting. If he doesn't do it again in Silverstone, what do you even do at that point?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say that in a minute. I reckon Silverstone will be where he starts to get his mojo back. But, I mean, the first time since 2008... a Red Bull has failed to make Q3 four times in a row, and this is probably the most sickeningly OP Red Bull that they've ever had in that regard as well. You know, I get it. It's a short lap. You know, you have got to still be on it. I mean, it was David Coulthard, I think, made a fantastic, obviously, statement after Q1. The first time ever in Formula One that the entire grid has been covered by less than a second in a session, which was closer than F2 and F3. And obviously they've got identical cars
yeah,
which is absolutely wild, isn't it? The fact that
it says a lot about
the
quality of
F1
driver.
Is.
Yeah.
Exactly. That is the other big thing. You know, you haven't got, you know, your Brad Benavides or some of the really poor drivers in F3.
Nikita Mazepin anymore.
Nikita Mazepin as well, exactly. He was a second off anyone, never mind everyone. Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, Checo, like, he's got a... I mean, to be fair, you know, a little bit of spoiler, of course, but we all, you know, I'm pretty certain we all would have watched the race. You know, he did recover quite well, of course, come Sunday afternoon, but he shouldn't have to be recovering, and especially not four weekends in a row should he be having to recover, because, of course, Max Verstappen isn't a driver that has to recover four weekends in a row, or ever at all, it feels like, at the moment.
And Checo seems to be, obviously it's a short track, so the gaps are less dramatic, but he seems to be almost right there with Max in terms of quali pace this race. So had he got into Q3, you'd imagine, and he'd put his lap together in Q3, of course, but he'd easily be second, probably like able to at least challenge Max Verstappen, because Verstappen wasn't glowing in Friday quali. He was not on it, and like Leclerc almost got pole position for the second sprint in a row. But yeah, Perez really just his own worst enemy at this time. So yeah, unfortunate, but that's the way it goes. And I'm sure for his sake, I hope he pulls it together on Silverstone qualifying, really.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? And I know we've spoke so much about Nyck de Vries, you know, is really in a tight situation with Red Bull at the moment. You know, it does feel like any day that announcement could come on. I don't think either of us would be too surprised. Is Perez going to be following him to Job Centre come the end of the year?
It could be, yeah. It's lucky for him that he's able to recover. I think if he was doing this in 2021 and he was finishing like 6th, 7th every week because it was harder to follow and harder to pass and the grid was closer, he wasn't in such an OP car, then yeah, it would have been hard. But the fact that he can generally at least get back towards the top 5, top 3, it's kind of bailing him out.
Yeah, but I'm still not, you know, if I was Red Bull management, you'd be looking at that going, well, I could get a Lando Norris in who can seem to do the job every week. I mean, I know, again, it's just us trying to hype up. And I'm not sure how I'd feel about Lando Norris going to Red Bull either.
Going to the dark side. Yeah.
Exactly.
I think Max Verstappen would feel that happy if he got a proper good teammate, to be honest. I think Verstappen would beat him.
Yeah, yeah.
But it would be less comfortable.
It would be more of an ego thing for Max, which I mean, I was literally about to get onto in a couple of minutes when we talk about the actual sprint race. Mm-hmm. But yeah, obviously we jumped into Q3 though. I mean, like you said, Max, I think not on it is a bit harsh. I think he just knew, of course, that it didn't really matter at that point, did it?
Yeah.
Because the only car that was ever going to be able to keep up with him in the race was starting P15 again. Yeah. And I mean, he still took pole. That being said though, Leclerc, Friday night again, absolutely wringing the neck out of that Ferrari. Mm-hmm. It was a fantastic lap by him to get within half a tenth of the Red Bull. I mean, those final couple of corners were absolutely beautiful. Driving from Charles Leclerc, and he had Sainz right behind him in P3. Carlos Sainz, yeah. I think he had a decent little weekend.
He did. Unfortunately, didn't really get what he deserved in terms of the result, but that was kind of his own fault. We'll come on to that later. But yeah, he was very good pace all weekend.
Yeah, and again, obviously, like we said, Spielberg merchant himself, Lando Norris, P4 on the grid as well there. Able to beat out Hamilton. And another weekend where Aston Martin just seemed to be a little bit alienated.
Yeah, it's strange what's going on with them, because at the start of the season, they were fantastic everywhere and on all kind of track. And then, well, I guess Baku was the main one, and then also Austria, of course. But you kind of think about it, Austria isn't that different from somewhere like Canada, where Alonso did very well. So it is weird how they just have kind of hot and cold weekends. But yeah, they never really looked a threat in the race, although did both get good points, or all right points at least.
Yeah, picked up the pieces quite nicely, didn't they? I think they were kind of bailed out in many ways, obviously, for Mercedes having a bit of a nightmare. Obviously, George Russell out in Q2 on Friday. Just could not quite get the lap he needed hooked up.
And then, of course, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was Saturday.
Oh, that was a hydraulic failure.
Which we were literally just about to get into, of course, because sprint qualifying, to be honest, Saturday was probably more interesting than Friday and Sunday put together, wasn't it, for the most part?
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't get to catch either of the sessions on Saturday because I was at a wedding.
Did you not?
No, I was following it while hearing the speeches because I saw Hülkenberg was second place and I was getting excited.
I guess I'll run through that then. So yeah, sprint qualifying, of course, we woke up Saturday morning. Rain had hit the Spielberg circuit. So obviously F3 had kind of moved a lot of standing water off the circuit. I've watched that race, very, very good fun. But yeah, it was a moist track, I think is probably the best way to describe it, in the sense of there was definitely still a lot of wet patches, but unless you were Williams, you were going straight out there on a set of dry tyres. Carlos Sainz, again, shout out to him. Issues early on in his Ferrari, though. I think he had issues with the brakes, didn't he? That he wasn't getting the engine braking proper or the recharge braking, but came back out late on in Q1. And just went and immediately went fastest, which was mega by him, especially on a track that was constantly evolving. But the big controversy, Jamie, that kind of got forgotten about, and I don't know if you've seen the clip of it, was Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton.
I just saw that Hamilton was out in 18th, and it was quite funny. So
it was very, very awkward. And this was a point that I was going to talk about. So Max Verstappen is finishing off his lap. Round in the final corner, Hamilton is starting his lap in front of him. He's probably, about a second in front, but it means obviously because he's starting a lap rather than being finishing one, by the time they get to the line, Verstappen has all but pulled alongside him. So obviously Lewis then heads down in towards turn one. Max then obviously, like I said, finished his lap, but he just kind of doesn't really bail out of it and stays on the inside of Lewis in towards the first corner.
Mm.
Now,
that is interesting.
I found it quite funny, first of all, because obviously, you know, had it gone to the stewards, Max would have gone, well, I was trying to go for another lap, and would have got away
with it. There's no way
you'd struggle to prove against it. Yeah. But what surprised me was the fact that neither of them got a penalty rather than both of them, because really, they both blocked each other's runs.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the stewards are generally, they don't try and get involved if there's no real loser. So I guess he saw it in on lap one as well, where Tsunoda went for a dumb move, but they didn't give him a penalty because the only loser was Tsunoda. So giving him another penalty would have just been a bit, strange. So I guess that's kind of why they both, like, it's just like school kids fighting. If they're both suffering, then just leave them to it.
But I think it gets even more difficult, of course, when Charles Leclerc picks up a penalty, even though he was coming into the pit lane. And obviously Oscar Piastri was on a lap, and obviously just the mess that is the Austrian GP pit lane entry.
Mm.
You know, and you kind of say there was no loser. What about every other driver on the grid who doesn't block
who
someone?
Doesn't gain from their penalties, potentially? But yeah, it wasn't that big of a deal in the end. And why was Hamilton so slow? Was there a reason for that?
Well, because Max was on the apex of turn one when he was trying to start his lap.
Yeah, fair enough.
So Zhou Guanyu, Piastri, Lewis Hamilton out in Q1. I mean, his interview afterwards was quite telling as well about drivers' feelings on sprint races. He went, I don't care, it's a sprint race. There's no points.
Funny.
Which is not a great look for Formula One when still quite clearly your drivers aren't interested by sprint races as well. And then, of course, yeah, it got even worse for Mercedes because Russell had a hydraulic failure, so he immediately couldn't do a run in Q2. So that meant Albon was going to start the sprint from 11th, just ahead of Gasly and his two, well, the two current AlphaTauri drivers at his former team, Tsunoda and De Vries out. And then, unfortunately, well, I say unfortunately, depends who you're a fan of, Verstappen, Saturday, qualifying, a bit more comfortable, took pole by about 3.5 tenths over Perez. Lando, though, running up in P3, ahead of Hulk, Sainz, Leclerc. Again, Aston Martin, a little bit anomalous in 7th and 8th, ahead of Ocon and Kevin Magnussen. Shout-outs to Lando and Nico, especially when Nico did that lap on medium tyres.
Ahead of both Ferraris and both Aston Martins and both Mercedes. What a absolute goat. He's genuinely, this isn't even bait, he's one of the fastest qualifiers on the grid still, and he always has been better at qualifying than he has been in the race.
That's not that useful. Yeah, I think a lot of drivers have still got that bit in them, haven't they? When it's all working well, they can extract a lot out of the car.
Yeah,
but I think he's also going up against K-Mag, who I would argue isn't a qualifier either.
No, he's just a battler who beefs people all the time.
Exactly. But that then brought us on, of course, Saturday afternoon to the start of the sprint race. And have you seen anything from the sprint race?
I watched the highlights. Yeah,
that's all right then.
I was following it live on Twitter a little bit as well, but obviously was trying to be sociable.
Thoughts on the Perez and Max incidents then at the start?
That was just weird. It was just like Perez thought he was a hard man, kind of, and was like, I'm going to have a go at Max. And then, I mean, it was fair. I think I'm glad there was no penalties, basically, but it was hard racing, obviously. I think if it wasn't teammates and if there was contact, they probably would have dished out some pens. But, yeah, I just found it funny that Perez went all like, look at me, I'm massive, into turn one. And then into turn three, he got absolutely done up the inside.
Was left also nowhere to go.
Yeah, but still, Max was able to brake so much later and get the car alongside, which was crazy. But, yeah, I mean, I think Perez kind of probably had a point to prove after qualifying 15th for the GP. But it was never going to last that long. And I guess if he was able to get ahead of Max permanently and stay ahead of Max, then maybe he could have held that for the rest of the race. But I doubt it. But I guess that was his big opportunity. And he took it into turn one and then immediately gave it back into turn three.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And I mean, it was, I said there obviously that he was left no space. He also left Max no space on the exit of turn one.
It was 6-1 half dozen the other, really, wasn't it?
Exactly, so. Exactly. And this was the point I was actually going to talk about when it comes to Max Verstappen's ego. Because, of course, that dive into turn two was completely, yeah, you're the number two here, mate. I'm not.
It was just like, right, if you can give that, you're taking this, really, wasn't it?
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
The thing that gutted me in it, of course, was the fact that Lando Norris, had he just been able to get the car slowed down slightly earlier, probably could have taken the lead.
Yeah.
Because he was probably in prime position there to get up to the front. And instead, it was a certain Nico Hülkenberg that found himself indeed all the way up to P2 after Verstappen and Perez continued to barge each other around at turn four.
Good move from Hulk on Perez as well. So,
yeah, it was a very good move into turn five, around the outside.
Indeed, indeed. Best wet driver on the grid? No, definitely not. Probably top five wet drivers on the grid.
Oh, behave.
He genuinely, qualifying in wet weather, they're the good things he has.
Remind me where he finished in this sprint race after running P2
in a car that's probably
the race?
Eighth fastest on the grid.
Oh, give up. Give up.
It's definitely not in the top five. In the.
It's because we've got four locked in.
Yeah.
And yeah, Hasser always nuts at Austria. Remember?
He deserves some credit.
He's Hasser very always good. Great at Austria, so you can't even argue that.
Fair,
as
fair.
Well. I mean, it would take Perez 12 laps to get back past Hülkenberg, which is kind of nuts.
By which point, Verstappen had checked out and won the
Verstappen
race.
Had won, yeah, at this point. But it was looking like the dry tyres could be possible pretty soon.
Mm.
So after a good little battle between Leclerc and Esteban Ocon, which Leclerc then ran wide and let Lando Norris past him, George Russell was the first to blink at the end of lap 16, wasn't he?
Yeah, was he out? He was out of the points, wasn't he, at that point?
He was 10th, so just outside.
So he kind of had to roll the dice because obviously you're battling for what, 1 or 2 points, and if it
and
goes
Mercedes
well, you might
didn't care.
Yeah, you might end up 5th or 4th if you go dry and it works. So that's what he did. And then the next lap, once Russell's tyres are warmed up, he was setting the timing sheets alight. So a few other drivers, obviously not very long left in the sprint race, but the drivers who were kind of struggling or had nothing to lose went into the pits for dry tyres. So Hülkenberg, Hamilton, and a few others lower down the order who had no points to lose tried it, and it worked okay. It kind of ended up back where you started almost, wasn't it? Because Hülkenberg pit from 5th, but realistically would have ended up behind both Aston Martins with his wearing intermediates.
And he was getting jumped by him as he pit.
Yeah, so he pits, comes out and dries in 11th or 12th, and then works his way back up to 6th, which is probably where he would have been anyway. So it wasn't like a Spa 08 or a Russia 21, but it was definitely an interesting end to the sprint race. A pretty good sprint race as well, all things considered.
Well, this is what we always said about the sprint races, wasn't it? They work brilliantly when you get these kind of races. I want to see one that goes from dry to wet. I think that could
be
dramatic. Because wet to dry races nowadays, we've got so much data, haven't we?
They're quite predictable.
They can be quite predictable. But dry to wet race, I mean, look at Monaco just a few weeks ago. That was absolutely wild for about 10 laps, wasn't it? I mean, like we said, obviously, some drivers pit worked obviously quite well. You know, George and Lewis were able to work their way back up. But Red Bull didn't at the front, and Max still absolutely controlled it to the finish there. Took the win ahead of Perez and Carlos Sainz as the Aston Martins duking it out, and Alonso was most definitely reminded of how much he's paid, so sat behind Lance Stroll right to the end.
Yeah, reminded who owns the team, and stayed put. But Hülkenberg ended up behind them both in 6th with Ocon and Russell alongside each other over the finish line, Ocon just ahead in 7th. And Hülkenberg, picking up 3 points, which is his second points finish of the season, I believe.
He's only scored twice.
Yeah, but he scored a lot. He's 6th and 7th in a Haas. So we take
6th in a sprint race, mate. Come on, it's 3 points.
Yeah,
it's not
more than Hamilton got in the sprint.
Yeah, it's a fair point, but look how well Lewis is in the championship.
Yeah.
Just remember, Hamilton's had more podiums this year than Nico will ever get.
Will ever, that's a big statement.
He won't get a podium. You can't honestly believe Hülkenberg's got a podium in him still, surely.
It's been closer this year than he has been his previous few seasons in Formula 1.
He
was a dodgy red flag call away in Melbourne, so there you go.
He was, to be fair. Had he got a podium this weekend, how gutted would you have been? Because it wouldn't count.
I would have counted it. I know you would have counted it,
but it wouldn't have counted was the point I was making.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been like, I'd have still taken it really well, because you've got the pictures, you get my new phone background, so that's all that really matters.
Oh, you don't want Max and Chef on there, do you? Surely.
Probably not. If it was, like, Max and Lando and Hulk, that would be all over it.
You can't just make a podium.
Someone photoshopped me that, and I might... No, I won't use it.
Don't waste your time photoshopping that, ladies and gentlemen. But that brought us in, then, finally, to Race Day Sunday, doesn't it? It was a decent race. Again, it was another race, wasn't it, Jamie? Where there's a fair amount going on.
Yeah.
But there's no other way of putting it. It's just the way Max wins.
Yeah. If you took Max out of the picture.
It's just a boring way.
If you took Max out of the picture, how many you'd probably have 5 winners this year? How many drivers have finished second?
Alonso, Perez, Hamilton.
Is that it?
And Leclerc.
Yeah, so now. 4 winners in 8 races, or 9 races, sorry. It's not that bad if you took Verstappen out.
No, just remove Verstappen.
But, I mean, yeah, it's just there's no jeopardy. So you've got slightly interesting races, but you just know that the win's always in the bag. So even as a Verstappen fan, I kind of want something to go wrong for him at some point, but I still win the championship.
All he needs to do, and this... Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Just start doing Master first.
Well, I'm trying to think of a way I word this nicely where it doesn't sound like I'm evil. Say, for example, he decides to take 3 months off to spend going fishing with his dad, let's say. Why he'd do that in the middle of an F1 season, I don't know. That would be brilliant. You know, we get some different winners.
He comes back and still wins the championship.
He probably would still. That's what worries me. Yeah. Especially if it was 3 months from now, because he'd only missed like 6 races. Checo would still throw it away.
Yeah, he'd still be qualifying 15th every week.
Probably. Anyway, back to the Austrian Grand Prix, though, I suppose. We've gone on a bit of a tangent there. Early drama, wasn't it, for probably the man that's been hyped up more than any other so far this year, little Yuki Tsunoda. Messed it up twice in 4 corners to start
Indeed.
The race.
Yeah, it was a poor move, Danny, inside of turn one. Kind of went for a gap that was... It was optimistic, to say the least. I think the move... It was trying to make a move on Ocon. And then because he's literally so narrow into turn one, he just understood into the side of Bottas. Got some front wing damage and then didn't really realise. And then into turn four, just completely missed his braking point almost and went straight into the gravel. Poor from Tsunoda. I did see that and immediately think it was De Vries live. But it wasn't. And Tsunoda was the one making the mistake this time, but it wasn't great from him. And the race didn't really go anywhere from that point onwards, really, from him. It was top 5 stayed in order. I think Alonso jumped Stroll and Hülkenberg jumped Stroll as well from 7th. But unfortunately for Hülkenberg, as is the theme, really, for the first stint of most races this season, it's just... Hülkenberg qualifying higher than he should and dropping back with no tyre wear. So the same was happening.
All the tyre wear.
Yeah, with no tyre durability. The same was happening here until I think lap 11, 10 or 11-ish, he pit, which would have been super early, definitely nailed on 3 stop, which would have been a lot of fun for a fan of his. And it didn't actually matter in the end because the engine blew up. So great Sunday for Hülkenberg there. And that brought out the VSC quite early on. And, as I've said before, VSCs or safety cars during a pit window kind of nullify a race a little bit. This one wasn't so bad because there was still some differences, but everyone pit apart from the Red Bulls. So you had, after the VSC ended, everyone fresh tyres apart from Verstappen in the lead, and Perez was third? I think he was behind Leclerc.
Yeah, he'd recovered very nicely early on, hadn't he?
Yeah.
He did a very, very good job early in the race.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of settled into the rhythm of the race at that point. And there was a lot going on lower down the order and a little bit going on in the top 10, but nothing going on for P1.
No, exactly. And I mean, even by the time, obviously, well, at least once Max did pit, of course, it meant that it was the first time he wasn't leading laps since Miami, which is nice that we had someone else at the top of the standings,
which was
for
at
a
the beginning of May, 2 months ago.
Yeah, alarming. We did still have some good battles, though. Sainz versus Perez was a great battle early on in the afternoon, wasn't it?
Sainz passing Perez, which I wasn't really expecting, after he had previously passed Hamilton and Norris, because they both jumped him in the VSC window with the double stacking for Ferrari.
Two slow stops, which was bizarre.
Yeah, I guess Hamilton and Norris were like, I was surprised that Norris was keeping up with Hamilton at the start, but he did, and eventually he actually passed him.
Well, it's because Hamilton had car issues.
Did he? I haven't seen that.
Yeah, he had brake issues.
Wow, I actually hadn't seen that, but I mean, if that's true, then fair play. But yeah, he didn't have brake issues when he was extending track limits every corner. So,
well, that was why he was extending track limits. Going to get the car slowed down.
Or turned, or stopped, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, lap 17 out of 71, Hamilton got a 5-second penalty, which was not great. And he was also doing his best to complain all the time. So, yeah, he was just had a really, really off day on Sunday, which Austria's been always a bit of a bogey track for Hamilton.
He does not like Austria, does he? I was literally thinking this. It's not a good track for him.
Yeah, because both his Mercedes teammates during the dominant era had more wins than he did in the head-to-head over their time together. So that's just unusual, really.
Bizarre, because on the other hand, he had one of his best ever qualifying performances also in Austria.
In the wet, yeah. In 2020, wasn't it?
Yeah, very, strange. Very weird venue for Lewis Hamilton. I mean, again, it was one of those races where there was obviously lots going on, but it's just not where people want a lot going on. I mean, apparently, according to Jamie on the notes, most of it was involving Kevin Magnussen well there. Magnussen likes to get involved in scraps. He definitely is the kind of guy that just goes to pubs to have a fight.
Yeah, completely. And he hadn't pit under the VSC as well, so he was raised up like 8 places to where he was before, and then spent the next 20 laps just falling back slowly but making a fight of it every time. So yeah, it was fun to watch, but you had, I think, what, both Williams, Bottas was in there, Joe was in there, and Magnussen just being a bit of a menace to everyone.
Yeah, until he got yeeted by Nick de Vries, wasn't it? Again, second weekend in a row. Even Kevin Magnussen had come to blows. I don't know what de Vries is trying to prove against him, but clearly not happy.
Yeah, a little shove into the gravel and a 5-second pen to follow. Actually not for track limits, which became a bit of a rarity, that any 5-second penalty wasn't related to track limit infringements. But yeah, de Vries, another mistake in a weekend. And we'll see what happens. Maybe by the time this goes out, Liam Lawson will be in, but we shall wait and see.
Yeah, not convinced it'll happen. Well, apparently de Vries has been told now, hasn't he, that it's his decision, which is not great.
De Vries' decision?
Apparently.
Why would he leave?
Perhaps he'll get paid off. I don't know.
Fair, maybe.
Very, very weird kind of scenario going on with Red Bull. But then, of course, yeah, later on in the afternoon, though, Ferrari, they obviously went on to a two-stop strategy. Max Verstappen had obviously pit later than them and was still going quicker, despite being on much older tyres, which was kind of really depressing.
Disappointing,
Late on in the day, because, you know, there was that small hope that maybe Leclerc could try and close up to him again before the checkered flag, but yeah, that was apparently never going to happen there, so Verstappen obviously just controlling it at the front. But it did also mean, though, later on in the day, once again, we had another quality battle between Sainz and Perez for P3, wasn't it?
Yes, absolutely brilliant. It felt way longer than 3 laps, but according to the highlights, it was only 3 laps. But yeah, every time they were going at it, Sainz was playing his hand perfectly. I thought it was like really, really clever racecraft from Sainz to either just park it on the apex of turn 3 and make Perez not get the switch back, or he was backing off enough through turn 1 that Perez would be ahead of him into the DRS detection point, and then Sainz could DRS him back down to turn 4. And this was happening lap on lap, and it was great. It was quality. And especially the lap they ran side by side through the whole first sector and turn 4 and 5 as well. Great stuff. And Sainz, actually, best weekend I can remember in terms of his pace and fight, like since probably Silverstone last year. Yeah, definitely this year. Yeah, really, really good. Unfortunately for him, it kind of unraveled towards the end. But up until then, he was obviously fighting for a podium, also fighting for his team, because Leclerc was, I don't know, 8 or 9 seconds up the road, and if he'd let Perez through easily, Perez probably had the chance to catch him late in the day and make it a 1-2. So, yeah, Sainz as well being very clever in terms of holding Norris in the DRS before that whole battle to try and hold Perez in a DRS train rather than ride his tail. Sadly for him, it didn't really work because Norris made a mistake into turn 3 and Perez went straight past as soon as he got the back of the train.
DRS trains don't work against the Red Bull car either because it's so fast down the straights.
Yeah.
It's the only car that isn't susceptible to them.
Yeah. But it was great stuff from Sainz. Probably one of the drivers of the day, although result-wise it didn't really come to very much.
No, unfortunately, as we were going to get onto in just a moment. But, I mean, yeah, the last bit of Max Verstappen, there's no other word to describe it, Jamie, is it? It's just shithousery. he pits with two laps to go from the lead to just bag fastest lap bonus point. You know, he would have only had about a four-second lead ahead of Charles Leclerc, but clearly confident enough in his team. Never have I wanted to see Red Bull fail a pit stop more than right in that moment, because it would have been hilarious. But yeah, pits.
The thing is, even if he lost, like, if he, say he had a 10-second pit stop, he comes out 6 seconds behind Leclerc with two laps. On fresh
he wouldn't
softs,
have got 3 seconds a lap, not in two laps.
I suppose not in Austria. But it's, no. Even if it was a 5-second pit stop, he still comes out behind and passes him so easily. But yeah. Yeah,
but you probably wouldn't. You might then struggle for fast lap bonus point.
Yeah, true.
And you never know what Leclerc could have done.
Yeah, taking him out, give Sainz the win, even though he finished
yes.
it.
Yes, yeah, somehow. Sergio Perez wins from 15th on the grid.
Yeah,
as
you've
seen, Alonso style.
without cheating.
But I mean, the big talking point though, wasn't it, Jamie? Was after the race, how many penalties had to be dished out to drive? I mean, apparently, according to the FIA, 1,200 incidents had to be looked at.
Across the weekend, that was, wasn't it?
Was that across the weekend on the whole, was it?
Yeah.
That is ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah, and the drivers have to take some, I would say majority of the blame.
All of the blame?
Yes.
They're the ones going off the track.
Yeah, exactly, and the white line defines the track limit. It's we've played league racing F1 before. That's how it works, and if you can't, I mean, I always used to just finesse the system and work out how to glitch it, but
glitch it strong, just abuse it, I think is probably more accurate.
Yeah, Germany turn one, shout out. If the drivers don't want penalties, stay in the white lines, like Joe Guanyu did. And who else didn't? Someone ahead of Joe also didn't get a single warning the whole race, but I don't know who it was. Maybe it was Verstappen.
No, I think Verstappen, I want to say it was Russell.
Could have been, but I know Joe, say they disqualify the lap that you corner cut on, Joe would have finished P2.
Yeah.
yeah, was poor. And especially Esteban Ocon, who after equaling the record in Bahrain for most penalties in a race, he set a new record in Austria for most penalties in a race, so fair play to him. I do think the way they dished them out for repeat offenders was a bit dumb. Because it was four cuts and you get 5 seconds, another four cuts and you get 10 seconds, another four you get 5 seconds again. And
I thought
four,
it was
four seconds.
Cuts you get five and then another one it goes straight up to 10.
Oh, was
and
that
then
it?
Another four you get five. Yeah.
Yes, that was
that's
it,
the
yeah.
way I'd read it.
Yeah. So that was a little bit daft, I thought, because I just think Codemasters do it better. Just do a corner cut is a second penalty, effectively. Because you get three, 3 seconds. Another three, you get another 3 seconds. Up until you get disqualified, which I guess Ocon wasn't far off by Codemasters standards.
No, Ocon would have been by Cody's standards, I would have thought.
Well, I think Cody's give you 20 corner cuts, isn't it?
Something like that,
yeah. Which Ocon must have been getting on towards. but a bit of a farce. But, I mean, it's the driver's fault.
Exactly, and this is the thing, obviously, when you've got drivers complaining about it, like, I'm completely of the mindset that still track limits now, for the first time probably since we started watching Formula One, isn't it, makes sense at last. Like the fact that they came in last year, Niels Wittich, and I always forget the guy that actually does it now's name.
I can't help you there.
No, that's really bad, isn't it, for a podcast.
Knowing Wheel, not knowing the
FIA. Not knowing the FIA. We're not mates with them. but... Yeah, the fact that they came in and went, right, it's white lines now. Simple as that. You stay between the white lines or you're getting penalties. Love that. Absolutely love that.
It was
and
so
most
dumb,
the drivers
like,
did as
ago.
Well.
2 years ago but when then, it was like, some corners are the curb, some corners are the white line, some corners you can do what you absolutely want. It was so stupid. So now the consistency, we love it.
But then you've got drivers going, oh, well, if I haven't gained an advantage, then it shouldn't be a penalty. No, stay between the white lines. I could understand, I think it was Lando. It might have been Lando, it might have been Stroll, who got a warning, even though he locked up, ran off, and definitely lost time.
Yeah.
I can understand why that's still annoying.
Did you see Hülkenberg got a warning for retiring from the race?
Yes.
That was funny.
yeah. But there is an element of you pay to keep it between the white lines.
Yeah. The only thing the FA could have done better was stay on top of it quicker, because
yes,
on lap 70,
there needed to be an automated system.
They were still dishing out pens from lap 60. So we didn't know
the
results.
And that does
for
change
a long time.
The way a race works, unfortunately, yeah, for a lot of drivers. But yeah, I mean, this is the other thing as well that I wonder. I think this is more of an Austria problem more than anything else. But again, you know, it's that fine balance between their pay to keep between the white lines. The trying to think of the right word, like the not corrugated, but the way the outer curbs are around Spielberg.
The sausage curbs.
No, not the sausage curbs, the grooved ones.
Right, yeah.
They don't help either, because of course they just drag the car further out.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, if they're going to drag the car further out,
stay
don't
away
touch
from
him in the first place. Should be
yeah,
pretty simple.
In football, if a ball goes over the line, it's out. There's nothing
exactly.
Like that's how it works.
Yeah, yeah. Just very, very weird. But you know, it did mean at the end of the day that Max Verstappen takes the win ahead of Charles Leclerc. Sergio Perez, good recovery to P3 ahead of Lando Norris. Alonso ahead of Sainz after his penalties. So Sainz, after having a mega race, came sixth somehow.
Yeah.
Russell and Hamilton recovered back, obviously, into decent points. Stroll
got
and
two penalties.
Yeah, Hamilton did get two penalties. And yeah, Albon and Zhou Guanyu, two drivers that I think deserve points there in P10. And Logan Sargeant, bizarrely enough, P11 looks like a fantastic
no,
race.
That's not P11. So
is that
Albon
not
P11? Was 12th, Joe was... No, Albon 11th, Joe 12th.
Oh, sorry. I've
yeah, none
miscounted.
Of them got points.
No.
No.
Sargeant P13, which you think is quite good until you realise that everyone else behind him completely ruined their own afternoons.
Yeah.
So he was kind of still last, sort of.
Last of the people who didn't get mega penalties.
Yeah.
With Ocon, yeah, dropping, I think, from, what, 11th down to 14th with
14th,
30 seconds of penalty.
Around a 1 minute track is
yeah,
so dumb. Although, would that have been okay if, for example, obviously, because then what do you happen when if you get 30 seconds of penalties, but the car behind you is a lap behind you?
Well, that's like, yeah,
like
that's
Albon was
past,
just
yeah,
ahead of Verstappen, wasn't he?
Yeah,
he
that's
the
happened.
Line.
I used to get that in league racing when you'd be, I mean, I wasn't lapped that often, but I think on one occasion, the guy behind me had just been lapped and I was ahead of him with a load of penalties, just determined to stay ahead of the leader. Because it's just tough luck because the guy behind finishes and you are still on the lead lap. So they just they can't go ahead of you because there's no way of measuring it, which is...
No.
Yeah. I mean, if this is a constant
it's
issue,
a nuance,
I need something
it?
To be... yeah. It's probably never going to happen apart from at Spielberg.
Yeah, exactly. So. Exactly. but Jamie183 then.
Hello, that is me.
That is you. Do you want to do your quiz, or do you want to go through driver of the day, that kind of thing?
Well, let's do the quiz first.
Hey, we're going to do the quiz first. So, famously, of course, Max Verstappen now has jumped Ayrton Senna for race victories in Formula 1. 42 now against Ayrton Senna's 41. Of course, half of those being taken in since the start of last season, isn't it? Which
yeah,
is kind of nuts. But we're not asking you about Max Verstappen right now.
Oh, no. You're the Senna fan here.
I am the Senna fan here, exactly. So what I'm going to ask you, good sir, if I can work out how the alphabet works, you've got 1 minute, and you're going to tell me of those 41 victories. You don't
what
have to tell...
It's going to be racetracks, isn't it?
You are going to name me every racetrack there in Senna 1.
Oh,
your time
no,
starts now.
All right, Monaco.
Yep.
Like Kailami?
Nope.
Silverstone,
yeah,
Hungary.
Only once.
Put it Hungara Ring.
Yeah, won there quite a few times.
Nürburgring, Hockenheim.
He did win the Hockenheim Ring. Nürburgring was off the calendar.
Can I just name countries? I've got these tracks. Brands
Hatch. I want tracks. Never raced at Brands Hatch.
Oh dear, France like Magny-Cours.
Nope, never won there.
Spain, Barcelona. What's the old track?
He did win at Barcelona.
Called? Madrid? No. America. That's got to take like six off, right?
No, I'm asking for specific tracks in America.
Caesar's Palace.
Nope.
Vegas.
Nope. Never raced either of them, I don't think.
This is so bad. Dallas.
You got 10 seconds. No.
Oh, so many European. Monza.
yep.
Austria.
Nope. And your time is up.
Melbourne, Adelaide. Oh dear, that was
so there were 17 answers there. Oh, hello. There were 17 answers there, Jamie. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
You know, I'm not good at anything pre-2010. No, pre-2006.
Yeah, exactly. Hence why I ask you. So there were 17 answers. You got 6. So nice. Just over a 33% conversion rate. You forgot some that you kick yourself for.
Yep.
Spa.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah.
For example, one there.
I just forgot about
times.
Europe. I tried to name obscure tracks and just forgot about all the basic ones.
Pretty much. Canada, one there.
Yeah.
Brazil, one there. Japan.
Oh, Brazil. Come on. That's so
one
obvious.
At Japan. Australia. Obviously, Suzuka. That was Adelaide.
Oh, yeah.
Estoril.
Estoril was the one I was trying to name, but forgot.
Yeah, and Mexico. And then the US tracks that you couldn't quite get. You
Detroit.
Also got San Marino. Detroit, yep, and Phoenix were the Phoenix, two you were missing
okay.
there.
Yeah.
So disappointing from you there, JB183.
Yeah.
A disappointing
I'm
going to
ask you about the 1960s next week.
Please do. Please do. I look forward to it. Driver of the day, then. Here from Spielberg. Or Driver of the Weekend, I suppose we do.
Driver of the Weekend. I mean, I'm not giving it to Max, just because that's quite boring. But he did do everything he could have done.
I mean, he scored every possible point, couldn't he? I don't think it's harsh not to give it to him, but I totally get it.
I'll give it to Lando Norris.
Lando Norris had a fantastic weekend.
He got the official one as well.
He did, didn't he? Because, he had a very good weekend. People forget that he is a merchant around the venue as well. But, you know, doesn't make him any less good this weekend. Sainz as well, like I said, I think he probably deserves a bit of a shout-out. Despite the fact he didn't really look good on the results. And if it's for Sunday only, I think Checo did quite a decent job, all things considered.
Should have finished second, but yeah.
Every driver that didn't get a track limits penalty, I think also deserves a bit of a shout-out in that regard. In terms, then, of our own little predictions, I did really well this week, didn't I?
Yeah, I need to start taking it seriously again and stop predicting Alonso to win.
I got 7 points.
Out of 10, wasn't it?
6 of them were for Max, but I'm taking it.
Yes, I should realistically 6 should be a minimum for a sprint weekend these days. But for
and
some reason,
did you get, sorry?
I said Alonso would win the sprint race, which didn't happen. Didn't really look like ever happening at all. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's a shame. But I think what I got 4 points for Verstappen quali and race, and that was it. Was that it?
I think you put Leclerc on the podium.
No, I didn't. I went Alonso Russell. Yeah.
Oh, yes, you did. So you got 4 points this weekend, which actually means the scores are closing in. It's 35 to 33. I'm fighting back this year. This
you
is going to be my year.
I'd start being boring again.
Maybe. I'm quite a fan of the fact that I might actually have a chance this year, which is good for me. Race rating. Yes, of course. I knew we were forgetting one last thing.
Yeah. I mean, I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's so weird, isn't it, this year? It was another race that was... There was a lot going on, to be fair.
Yeah. The thing is, we had these races, like, for 4 years in a row, basically, where you just expected Hamilton to win, or at least one of the Mercedes to win. And we lived for the Germany 2019s and the... what other races were good? I guess, like...
Germany 2018,
stuff like that, where the win was in doubt because of wet weather or because of mistakes and stuff. So, and I don't like that's kind of why races like Canada 11 are just the best race of that decade completely, because compared to the second half of the decade, they were quality, and we're kind of in the middle of the dominant period at this point. So it's a shame, because but you can't give out 9s and 10s lightly, because there just won't be that many in a season.
No. Well, really, when you think about it, there should only be, on average, 2 10 out of 10 races a year.
Yeah. I mean, this race was good. I'd give it a 6.5.
I think that's fair, isn't it?
It was better than Baku. That's what I say every week.
We do need to keep tabs, don't we, properly, about the scores we're giving each Grand Prix this year. I'm going to give it a 7.
It felt like top half race of this season, probably.
Yeah.
But that's
not
saying a lot, really.
I think there were some good battles up and down the field once again, which is good. And I think it's always the difficult thing as well, isn't it? Because let's be fair, take Adrian Newey out of the scenario. Regulations this year have worked fantastically.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like we'd have such a great battle between
Newey plus Checo, Max Verstappen. Because even without Verstappen, Perez probably wouldn't be leading the champion. No, he would be, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he would be.
But not by a lot.
No, we'd still have a bit of a fight on our hands, which would be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, just... just they're kind of in the way, aren't they? They're
just
kind of
witnessing greatness.
Our spirits.
So.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is the thing. I mean, it did make me laugh because I saw a tweet yesterday from someone going, "Remember us, Max fans. We've got to enjoy these days because soon we'll be like Lewis." And I'm thinking, you bastard.
I struggle to enjoy, even though I'm a Max. I like to see him be successful, but when it's taking entertainment away from the sport, it is a struggle.
And the thing it is as well, like we said at the start, it is the way Max is winning
yeah.
on a lot of weekends
yeah.
as well. That he's just
I'm just glad he's not complaining boring. All the time like Lewis used to do. So.
I must admit, even I did get a little bit annoyed on a couple of occasions with Lewis this weekend.
Yeah, he didn't do great.
On Sunday, anyway.
Yeah.
But again, it's like we said, it's one of his bogey tracks. It's a really odd venue for him, which is a bit of a shame as well. But have we got anything else to talk about, Jamie?
McLaren are bringing Chrome back.
I was literally about to say that. I was like, we get to talk about that on hopefully Thursday or Friday, spoiled whenever it. The podcast goes up. That can hopefully be quite cool. But yeah, we will be back then, like we said, obviously, to preview even, I should say, the British Grand Prix later on in the week. Thank you all, as always, so much for watching. If you have enjoyed, please do make sure to leave a like, get yourself subscribed, follow us on all our various social media bits and pieces as well. And yeah, we will return very, very soon then, ready to discuss the British Grand Prix.